Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have very special guest today joining all the way from St. Petersburg, Russia. We got Andre and Paul of Infiltration. Hi guys.
Hey everyone out there, thank you for having us at your podcast. It's an honor. Thank you, man.
Yeah, hello and good morning.
Morning. How is it in St. Petersburg right now? How is the weather?
Oh, it's terrible. It's raining cats and dogs out there. It's like a freaking shower out there. And you just have to wear a bunch of extra coveralls just to make sure you don't get drenched all the time. You
know? Yeah, very true. But unfortunately, we got used to it because, you know, it's almost raining, especially from, you know, from end of September until like May or something. Yeah.
Right. I remember learning about St. Petersburg in school because I'm originally Sri Lanka. Yeah, I'm originally from Sri Lanka. So we had like Russian literature and stuff on our curriculum before. So guys, how is the situation in St. Petersburg with this, you know, what's happening, like pandemic and everything? How is it everything?
Well, you know, I would say that more or less it's the same as, I guess, everywhere in the world these days, because it's a universal thing. So basically we just try to kind of like curb the spread of the virus, plus we have all these restrictions as far as mass congregations concerned, be it a movie or concert. So basically we just try to, you know, maintain a healthy level of people who are not sick and try to prevent those who are sick from getting worse, basically. I think it's the same with the rest of the world.
Yeah, I agree. But to me, the situation is pretty much stable, I would say. So a lot of people like vaccinated and a lot of people like survived coronavirus. So a lot of people actually have antibodies. So, and yeah, but there are some still restrictions, of course. So you have to wear your mask in public transportations, or, you know, borders are still closed, right, unfortunately. But yeah, in general, so life keeps going, you know, like theaters and restaurants and clubs more or less open for the public. So
right.
Yeah.
So when did you guys last perform live?
Well, I do remember before the whole thing kind of like hit us real big, like the last year around March, right? When it all started, we had a pretty good gig opening for Ingested. It was right before the whole thing went crazy. It was in February, right?
Yeah,
it was February. And that was pretty much our last kind of like big show for a long time. And then we did a couple of local gigs every now and then. But as far as some major artist or some kind of a tour traveling, that hasn't been done ever since the whole thing kind of like hit us. So basically, yeah, I mean, apart from local stuff every now and then, that was the last great gig, I guess.
Right. So,
well,
so guys,
before coronavirus, of course, but
right.
Apart from that, the last but not least, of course, gig we did have like a month ago.
Yeah, local. Yeah, it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be, it's a great feeling, right? Going back and performing live, like after.
You tell me, man, it's what we do. It's what we love to do. We love playing live. We love to see people in the crowd going crazy, have fun, you know? It's such an outlet of energy. We just want to share the energy. Of course, we were so elated to see people just go nuts. It's what we do. It's awesome. Of course, we would love to, you know, spread the music across the globe, basically, you know?
Right.
Well, in fact, we have a show like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were playing tonight.
Did you forget about that?
You know, I'm getting old.
All right. So, actually, yeah, pretty much excited,
I mean,
yeah.
Right. It's nice to hear that you, I mean, bands are actually performing live because, you know, where I am, we don't have anything. We are not allowed to, like, have any congregation. And we can't even, like, people can't even perform, like, you know, one guy playing a guitar is even, that's not allowed still. So it's really frustrating, actually, for us. But anyway, there's hope when I hear you guys are going to perform live. So it gives me hope also. So,
so we'd love to welcome you to the show too, you know.
right. So tell me, maybe you can introduce yourself and tell me what you do in the band, and also mention your other members.
Well, allow me to introduce, first of all, Andrew Hughes. He will speak for himself, of course, but I wanted to say that.
I'll try. So,
okay, I'm the vocalist for the band, and I do lyrics and vocals in Infiltration. And I was invited by these gentlemen here who started this band with our guitars. So this is who I am. This is what I do. I sing and I write lyrics in a band.
Well, my name is Andrei. Anyway, so yeah, and I'm a bass player, and that's pretty much it as for me. But you know, I do write some music, well, from time to time, and I do a lot speaking of the, you know, like business side of the band, let's say. But yeah, that's pretty much it about me.
Right. What about?
And we also have a guitarist, Jack. Basically, Jack and Andrew, they created Infiltration as a band, and they invited me and Alex.
Yeah, very true.
So I received a phone call or something, I can't remember, back in 2017 when Andrew wanted me to check out the first songs. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was blown away when I heard what these guys came up with. And basically, there was the very fast answering, you know, like response. Yes, I'm in it. And ever since 2017, we were pretty much nonstop playing this, you know, playing music and writing material, performing, do whatever it takes to get our name out there, you know. But these guys, Andrew and Jack, are guitarists who created the band.
Right. Guys, tell me a little bit about your childhood and what's your earliest memory of music?
Well, so my earliest memory, like, music wise, this is related to my uncle, actually. So he was a quite advanced guy for his time. So he was born in 1959, and he was it was a Soviet times here, so he was a huge Beatles fan, the Beatles, I mean. And as you may know, so back in the Soviet time, Beatles were strictly, like, prohibited here. So my uncle, he had to, like, literally fight for his right for the party. So yeah, and he did speak English. He was, like, into all that Western kind of Clint Eastwood movies and stuff. And I remember he had a small, like, you know, like, portrait, photo, probably not a portrait, anyway, in the frame of John Lennon. And me, as a, you know, like, small kid, I was wondering, like, who is that guy with the, you know, his hair is, like, long. Yeah. So yeah, and when I you know, grew up a little older, he gave me his old tape recorders with all this amazing, like, classic, let's say, music, like the Beatles again, Queen, Pink Floyd. And yeah, that was awesome, really. I remember myself, like, in age of, I don't know, 13 probably or something, listening to Animals, which is amazing, Pink Floyd album. And of course, I didn't understand shit, but yeah, it was great, actually. Yeah.
Cool. And my experience, the first experience actually goes back to me being, you know, in school around 13 years old. And actually, I owe my English teacher a huge debt of credit because his class was decorated in Iron Maiden posters, Queen posters. And it was like, you know, he decorated his classroom as though it was a music studio and it was covered with English and American flags and all that. He created such an animation within the class so that you were so inspired by all this, you know, foreign culture. And this is where I actually first heard my first, you know, rock songs. Basically, it was Queen and Iron Maiden. And back in the day, I didn't really understand what the hell was going on. But at least it kind of like made a foundation for me to gravitate towards that kind of music, you know? And yeah, that was the first step into a heavier realm of, you know, things basically, to me at least. And yeah.
Right. So, I mean, having that sort of like early influence and then, when did you guys seriously thought of doing music, you know, doing metal, and who were the inspiration for that? Like,
oh, you mean our band today?
Yeah, I mean, before the band, like you had the interest to become a vocalist, like who inspired that?
Yeah, well, okay, here we go. First of all, yeah, so we kind of like liked, I personally like a bunch of different music. I hear from the old school hip hop to near hardcore. And I always wanted to have a darker shade of a music, you know, and I always wanted to find something that would tap a certain nerve, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, around maybe, you know, like 97, I want to say, I stumbled against Grave, Swedish awesome death metal band Grave. And they had this, I found this cassette actually. It was with their album Soulless. That was my first really serious introduction to death metal, basically. And I always wanted to. Ever since I started to listen to music, the first thing that I kind of noticed, unbeknownst to me back in the day, but still, it was vocals, be it melodic vocals or heavy. I just kind of like separated this from the rest of the band. That was like my thing. So back when I started to listen to heavier stuff, I wanted to, you know, hear something, you know, deeper or something. I couldn't quite even explain it until I heard Chris Barnes and of course, I mean, Cannibal Corpse and Vulture Rebirth is my ultimate favorite Cannibal record, and then Tomb of the Mutilated right up there, and this is where it blew me away. And I remember almost physically, you know how you go down the stairs and you think that you're about to land on a plane, but there's an extra step, so you have this micro heart attack because there's an extra step. You're like, holy shit. And I had the same effect when I heard Chris's voice, because at that time I thought I had heard everything as far as deep vocals concerned, and then I heard this super deep and I'm like, man, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what I want to do, you know. And that was like my tipping point for, you know, trying to develop that sort of vocals. So this is my kind of like story to be where I am now and trying to perfect my skill. And that was the where I drew my inspiration. Jorgen Sostrom, Chris Barnes, Mike Ackerfeld, you know, Sherwood Weber of Skinless. These are the guys who, Dying Fetus and John Gallagher too. So these are one of the best vocalists out there. I try to, you know, emulate, I guess, or try to be inspired by them. So this is my part of a story, I guess.
Yeah, so as for me, well, I wanted to be a guitar player, actually, because, you know, like when it comes to heavy music, everybody like wants to play guitar, right? But once I heard like bands such as Motorhead, of course, and Iron Maiden, and yeah, and Cannibal Corpse, so I decided, okay, screw guitar, that's for, you know, like... this is for pussies. Let's switch to the bass. And yeah, and another thing, like behind, so I wanted to be in a band like so bad, and everybody around me were like playing guitar, so, and no one played bass, and I decided like, okay, so if I play bass, so probably well, that helps me find the band like faster. So yeah, and since that day I'm playing bass and having fun around.
Right. So how is, I mean, I don't really have an idea what's the metal scene like in Russia. So tell me a little bit about the scene. How is it like? Is it accepted by the main society right now, or is it like, is it still considered as outcast culture, or, and how is it like that? How is the scene?
Definitely not for the outcasts or something like this, because you know, in such stores like Ancient Dam and whatever, like, you know, fashion kind of stores, you can actually easily find Metallica shirts or Iron Maiden, or I guess even Slayer, and well, everybody, like, you know, youngsters, or they are wearing like those leather jackets, which is quite crazy, because back in the day when we were growing up, actually, it was kind of like, oh, come on, you're wearing like band's t-shirts and leather jackets, and some guys like on the streets they could like beat the shit out of you because of that. And now this is like, okay, everybody wear it, so that's crazy actually.
Well, I think the rebellious factor was kind of like moved, and now it's a more of a day-to-day thing. But I want to say that our local scene is pretty thriving, but we're still sort of like isolated from the rest of the world as far as, you know, touring concerned. Because if you take a metal scene from Germany, Sweden, Japan, all kinds of countries such as even China, you know, I mean, China has some of the best, craziest metal these days too. But Russia is kind of like, you know, more of an exotic country for heavy music, even though we have a lot of bands that really, really talented, and they deserve to, you know, to show their, you know, music to the bigger, broader masses. I mean, this is what we try to accomplish too, basically. And yeah, so we'll be able to deliver this message through our live shows one day, playing on a bigger, better stages, because we want to share and, you know, like unite people with, hey guys, we're not, you know, we're here to have fun. Check it out. This is our song. See if you like this, you know? So yeah, well, I mean, Russia is really, really rich with the bands, but the problem is that we're kind of like isolated.
Right. I actually got an album from a friend who actually, I think he was from Ukraine, but he actually gave me a Russian album. This was a double album of DDT. Right? There's a band called DDT.
Yeah,
it's kind of rock band. Right. So how did you like that?
Yeah, I like the thing, but I mean, I don't understand anything on the lyrics, because it's all like in Russian. I think he gave me DDT, and he also gave me this Ukrainian band called Okian Levi or something.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I think that they're like so who is the most popular Russian band out there?
You see, you're talking about a little bit different scene, because these guys are very established rock bands from the way back in the time, like from the 80s or something, you know, and they represented a certain type of music which we call Russian rock, I guess, you know. There's the entire radio stations, entire following with a bunch of people and open airs, but we kind of like, we stay in the metal things basically. And as far as the most popular band when it comes to say that rock community, there are like a number of those. DDT, you know, like Mummy Troll, probably you heard them too. It's the whole other cultural you know, domain, basically. But as far as metal, I want to say that probably the most popular bands these days from Russia are Slaughter to Prevail, because they tour a lot. They kind of like broke through this so-called, you know, curtain, I want to say. And maybe the second most famous is Catalepsy, because they toured certain European open airs. And those are like a flagman of Russian extreme metal scene. And I really like those bands, but I hope they kind of like open the gates for broader bands of extreme way of things like ourselves. But yeah, so basically, yeah, as far as metal concerned, I would say that Slaughter to Prevail and Catalepsy are the most often met and popular names.
Yeah, yeah, I would add Arkona to that list, and Siberian Grinder. So yeah, those bands are quite popular. I mean, not even within the Rush, but you know, in Europe probably. But yeah, and we still have this old band, which is Aria. They still around. It's like, you know, like Russian Iron Maiden, and their first, like, I guess, five albums with the original singer. Those albums are, you know, awesome. If you like Iron Maiden, just check them out.
Yeah.
Even though they sing in Russian, but the music is actually great. And just you know, just a quick simple hint for you: if you don't understand Russian, just keep in mind every Russian band which sings in Russian, they sing about the beer and vodka and all that kind of
stuff. Okay, yeah, that's universal language. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay. Beer, vodka, balalaika, ushanka.
Oh, and bears too.
Yeah, bears.
Right. So you guys have your songs on like in Spotify and YouTube, and do you guys see who listen to this? Like, are you guys surprised the places the people listen to your songs? Like, what countries like surprises you?
Well, I'm not really, you know, like, I don't really have much time just to check in the monitoring whoever listens to our stuff. With all the respect, thank you, whoever you are, to listen to our music or purchase our album. Thank you. It's an honor, and I can never thank you enough. But I want to say that, to me personally, the most the best thing is when the American people or people from Great Britain kind of like really listen to or purchase our merch. So to me, this is like, I really enjoy to know that somebody from States or from the Great Britain could actually, oh, this is amazing, you know, song. Well, it's awesome for whatever reason, without taking away anything from any other people from anywhere. If you're in Japan, listen to it, it's phenomenal. So, or if you are in a neighboring city in Russia, the same thing. Like, thank you, man, for listening to our stuff. But I mean, the most decent places to me would be Australia, States, and Great Britain. If people listen,
well, I have a great news for you. Well, I have just opened our statistics on Spotify, actually, and I see a lot of countries, actually, which is quite exotic to us. Right. So it has Australia, Colombia, Indonesia, Costa Rica, New Zealand, and Israel, South Africa, Taiwan, Ecuador. Well, that's probably great. All that's around awesome. The world, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume Indonesia would be there, because there's a lot of metalheads in Indonesia. So
yeah. Especially. Yeah. Those guys are crazy as far as.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've been to some of the gigs in Indonesia, and then, like, basically, there's no bouncers on the shows. Like, you can do whatever you want, like, as long as you don't die. You can do anything you want.
That's the best rule. Okay. Just don't die.
Just don't die.
I really appreciate people in countries where it's not such an often thing to play a gig, because those guys appreciate every band, and every gig is such an event that they just give it all to you. And we want to give it back. And when you play someplace where it's not that often, people are like, whoa, they're just so honest, sincere about their emotions. It's awesome. So yeah, this is what I really, I'm intrigued by this stuff.
Right. So you have an album called, I think that's your debut album, right? Point Blank Termination. So I've been listening to some of the songs. I love you have a lyric video, I believe, for Sniper Creed, right? Yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also Radiation Storm is like one of my favorites. I've been listening to that a lot.
Great, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, glad you like it.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the thought process behind these albums, because I know, when it's a death metal album, it's of course there's going to be a certain topics, but what do you guys really want to put out? Like, what's your message on the albums? Like, when you write songs, what do you focus on?
As sonically, we wanted to create, equivalent of an explosion in a form of an album, I guess, because it's got to be heavy, it's got to be entertaining, it's got to be groovy, everything in between. We just wanted to have the perfect death metal record as far as sound and message concerned. Now, lyrically, I wanted to portray a world with a dire consequence of our actions as far as conflict's concerned. And in fact, I didn't want to scare people off. In fact, I wanted to kind of like say, like, hey, how about we just don't let it get there, what I just said about. How about we just stop and start be productive as far as life concerned. We only live once. So if you want to be dominating as far as life concerned, you have sports, you have all kinds of activity which doesn't involve direct murder. So how about we just move away from this crazy things I've just described. So that was the main focal point of narrative on the record.
Yeah, and let's say musical wise, so the among the others, our let's say, yeah, probably main goal, I think. So we want to have our songs, catchy and rememberable. Yeah, that's the word. Because, I'm not a huge fan of that, bands like Brutal Death kind of stuff. So, when you have listed the whole album, you're like, but what was that? So you didn't remember anything. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to, if people could really remember some of our songs and riffs and some parts, solos, whatever. So yeah, that's the goal actually. Because, I really like those bands such as Napalm Death from the 90s era and Cannibal Corpse, again, 90s era. They were brutal, yet bright, so after you listen to albums, you could name the song, you can some riffs stuck in your head. So yeah
we wanted to bring back that kind of a vibe from the 90s when bands were entertaining and very memorable songs were written. We just wanted to continue on that path rather than just blast it through the every song, because like Andrew just said, if you listen to the 10 songs of non-stop blast beat with no dynamics, it kind of like in one ear goes out the other and you just can't remember a goddamn thing. So we wanted to make our record more dynamic with a different flow so that you can actually almost like feel it on your fingertips. So that's our main approach to writing music anyway. So
right. One more thing I noticed with, especially with your artwork, because this artwork reminds me like SOD, MOD, or Sabaton, that sort of very trashy album covers, right?
It looks like a super, blockbuster movie kind of artwork.
Right. So you guys actually supported Napalm Death, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Tell me about that. When was that?
I think it was 2 years ago. It was crazy. Time flies like this. Jesus Christ. It was 2 years ago, September. We opened for Napalm Death. And there was actually, I want to say that I was blown away. Probably maybe Andrew will agree or not, but I think it was the biggest crowd we ever saw in front of us, because everybody was there. Yeah, everybody was there for Napalm Death. It's such a pressure for the opening band to be on par or try to be on par with the main, with the headliner. And I thought like, all right, there will be quite a few people, but not so packed. And we started to play, and actually people seemed to enjoy our set, which kind of like was really rewarding as far as performance goes. And it was fun. You know, we opened for them like exactly 2 years, because it was in September, I guess.
Yeah, true. And it was probably the biggest stage we managed to hit so far, I guess. And that was a great show. We had a great fun. So and we even managed to sell some our merch. And
right.
That was nice.
What I love about Napalm Death is like, it's a band that unites different genres, right? Metal, hardcore, punk, and everybody comes together to watch Napalm Death because they just have everything, right?
It's actually talent in its own, because a lot of bands attempted to make such a mixture too, but you know, not everyone can do that. You know, I prefer to stick to a certain genres, to knowing that I'm pretty good at those, and I'm good with this. But if I were to mix some other influences like jazz, like Napalm Death had some, you know, jazzy overtures plus some more industrial.
Yeah, they had John Zorn, I guess.
Yeah,
that's quite famous. Like,
you know, it takes talent too. So that is maybe not for everyone, but then again, it kind of like draws broader crowd if you want to, you know. But I don't think, in the meantime, I don't think we need this. You know, we're really, I'm for purity as far as genre is concerned. Anyway,
right. You know that Napalm Death actually has a Guinness World Record, right?
Yeah, for the
shortest song. 1.3 seconds, I think.
We try to beat this every rehearsal. Yeah, we like a few songs ahead of them.
Right.
We don't play songs anymore.
So your latest single that was released in 2021, that's another one that I've been listening to, Assault Rifle Justice. So tell me that about that song. I think this gun violence and guns and everything is always on the news, and
well, in fact, we have a great story behind that song, because the song came out you know, like in April or something, and I have my birthday in April, and our guitar player Jack, so he said me, you know, I couldn't come up with the better idea to your, you know, like a birthday gift, so I decided to give you this song like a birthday gift. So this is my own song, actually, because he, you know, he gifted me. But yeah, we wanted to add a little bit, let's say, grindcore-ish, punk-ish kind of vibes to the music, and because, you know, it fits perfectly. I mean, metal and hardcore and everything in between.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah.
But you know, as far as all this gun violence, my main narrative against spread music, not violence, and that song was more of it was a reflection of what was going on from the recent years with people who are, you know, like using their guns for whatever reason, like try to just push their right to do whatever. And then all of a sudden they just go crazy and just kill people left and right. This isn't like, how do you govern that sort of behavior? It's nearly impossible. It's all about education in the end of the day. Like, if you're educated about what you do. And again, I mean, would rather show an example and set it as an example that this is what we don't want to happen to anyone, you know? And therefore, our songs may be violent, but they're violent because, not because we support it, but because we want to move away from this, you know? Like, people, there are so many ways you can be, you can channel your aggression into sports, like I said, or music, but not into the actual murder or any other crime. So this is the main narrative of almost everything that we do as far as violent lyrics concerned.
Right. I mean, I kind of believe, like, you know, the responsible gun ownership is like learning not to use it.
Exactly.
Learning not to use it. I mean, controlling the situations, you're able to deal with the problems without actually bringing the gun to the table.
That's the mother of education, actually.
Yeah.
All those guns issues that we have all around the world, actually, I guess.
Yeah.
More or less.
So guys, what's happening? What's any new music coming out? You said you guys have a show tonight, and what about new music? What's the plan for the rest of the year?
All right. So basically, we have our new album, like, recorded, mixed, and mastered already. The only thing is missing is the cover. Art, I guess. So yeah, but we working on that. So I don't know what time we can release it, like when, probably by the end of this year, or I guess next year most likely.
Yeah, we did the new record during this pandemic period, and basically everything is done. And if you enjoyed our first record, you got to be pleased with what you're going to hear on the next, because it's a continuation of basically what we have said. Only, I mean, I'd like to believe that as a musician, we try to improve our skills upon every in each album. And in this case, it's far more dynamic. I mean, the faster parts became faster, slower beats became slower, but in the general picture, it's such a musical journey through all these peaks and valleys, and we just wanted to make the best record for you guys. And we're pending this new artwork, and like Andrew said, probably it's going to be released next year, but we really worked hard at this one.
Just like Paul mentioned, so we actually didn't like do anything new. We just, you know, we improved our existing formula. So faster parts became more faster, you know, and just to give you an idea.
Right. So Andrew and Paul, so what's your message to the people who's going to watch this video?
Oh, well, first of all, I hope that you guys enjoy our conversation, and even though we don't see you face to face, whoever watches and listens to this podcast, but we respect, admire, and love you guys and girls for showing us your support, and thank you for listening to Infiltration, I guess, and hopefully we will meet you one day on a concert somewhere in this crazy world. But and thank you, man, for having us on your podcast. It's all about respect and honesty about what you do. This is what we try to, show with our example.
Yeah, so couldn't agree more, actually. So just, stay healthy, stay sane, like keep support your local bands, and check out our stuff. We have a lot of cool things to offer.
Right. Anybody you want to shout out to?
There's a bunch of people out there. First of all, I want to shout out my band members, because these guys are phenomenal musicians as far as music goes. Andrew, Jack, our guitarist, Alex, our drummer. Also, there's my another band, Chamber of Torture. These guys are pretty awesome. But also, I would love to generally shout out to, like I said, to everyone who listens to your podcast. Thank you very much. And thank you to Alex Screamer. He's Alex Screamer is the vocalist for UK thrash metal band Dearly Beheaded. He's my absolute favorite band of all time. So shout out to Alex Screamer, 6 Feet Under, Cannibal Corpse, you know, and yeah, and just to love and peace, everyone.
Yeah, so big shout out to everyone, actually. So yeah, I didn't come up with better idea. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. So guys, I mean, you know, I mean, I actually got to know your band because your guitar is actually got connected with me on Instagram. Oh, like yeah. Somehow we got connected, and then I just told him that why don't we just talk about it? Because I followed the band, and it's so funny how it's so easy that we can connect, right? Like this way.
It's amazing.
And then it's really amazing. And then I went to your band camp and I saw all the artwork, and I immediately became a fan of that because, you know, it reminded me all of this 90s stuff. And so I really enjoy talking to you guys. Thanks for joining. And
thanks
I hope someday we can, I hope we can see, I wish you guys can tour this region in the future, hopefully when everything is, you know, settled. And so stay safe and stay sane.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you too, man. You stay safe and sound there too. And thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So Andre and Paul of Infiltration from St. Petersburg, Russia. Thanks, guys.